Welcome back to the podcast of the Book Club of the Truck. My name is Graham Bradley, and I don't give a care about rhyming very well. This is episode 40, With or Without Magic. Ready, and... I am not the only jacked physical specimen with a neckbeard out there who also happens to run a book club. Indianapolis Colts superstar quarterback Andrew Luck started one a couple of years ago, and while I've kind of fallen off the wagon with following his book club and reading all the suggestions in it, I picked up a couple of really good nonfiction books over the years in that, and one of them was Undaunted Courage by Stephen Ambrose. It is a nonfiction account of the westward voyage of Meriwether Lewis and William Clark. It took them about 2 years. Back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, they were trying to, explore the interior of North America, mainly because North America had just purchased a huge chunk of it from France. And obviously the government wanted to know what was inside and how did we get across it to the Pacific and so on and so forth. And so they put together a team of men to do it. The co-captains were Meriwether Lewis and William Clark, and this book gives you all the good and gory details about that journey. It's one of those books where the instant takeaway is, holy crap, people were a lot tougher 250 years ago than we are now. I mean, we get a friggin' splinter these days and we want to go to the hospital. Back then, they went down rivers on wooden rafts with dried meat and booze for supplies, and the booze was largely to subdue the men at the end of a long day, get them drunk so they didn't care so much about how hard the journey sucked. And beyond just the natural difficulty of dragging all that weight and mass and cargo, you know, overland when they couldn't get it into a river that had rapids in it, they also had to deal with wildlife, with extreme climate, with disease, with mosquitoes, and of course the natives, especially the warlike Sioux, who didn't give a fig about, you know, the white folks coming through and didn't care too much about having them on their land, weren't really big fans of them. And so they had to deal with different tribal chiefs along the way, barter their way through different parts of the land, you know, trade valuables, and there were certain things that they weren't allowed to give them. They obviously didn't want to cough up valuables like black powder rifles and things like that, which would probably then be turned around and pointed at them. So there were no small amount of challenges along the way, but the reward obviously outweighed the risk, at least in the eyes of the government and, of course, of the men who were the captains of the expeditions. But even with all that temporal, you know, insurmountable difficulty, it wasn't insurmountable, they surmounted it, the expedition was a success. Even with all that built-in difficulty of just getting a voyage like that done, they also had to deal with trouble within their own ranks of men, you know, failing their code of military discipline, of tapping the whiskey kegs before they were supposed to, and Lewis and Clark had the unenviable task of disciplining some of the crew in front of the other men, usually with giving them 50 lashes for something really, really egregious, and then making them, you know, turn right around and get in the boats and row the next day. The voyage started later than they wanted to. It took longer than they planned to get the boats all ready. And then, of course, they ran into difficulties along the way, like the ones that I have outlined. Of course, a big player in this story, I say story even though it's really an historical account, is the Shoshone woman Sacagawea and her husband at the time. You know, the fact that this woman was 16 and like giving birth in the wilderness and still leading these men across the Rockies and out into the West, just a massively inspiring tale. We think of a journey across the United States. I myself am a trucker, like I've obviously mentioned before. I saw the Pacific and the Atlantic in a 5-day span on my training run. That is an insane amount of speed and time compared to how long it took these people to cross the what would be the full United States and then come back. It took them, you know, 2 years to make this round trip, first along a northern parallel, then down a coast, then across a southern parallel to come back. It's just amazing to think of how much harder it was back then and the fact that they did it anyway. Probably because they didn't have the comparative ease of our day to look at and say, wow, you know, why would we do it this way when we could just do it that way? It's like, no, I mean, at some point, somebody's got to do it the hard way so that we can figure out what we need to make easier. And they did it. It was one of those books where you'd kind of wish that you'd been able to get into it in elementary school when they were talking about it, but at the same time you understand why you didn't, just because it would be impossible to spend so much time on one single unit when you're trying to get a big, broad view of American history. There were also some gritty details that, you know, you might not want to teach an eight-year-old. For example, one of the medical problems that was common to the expedition was blindness, or, you know, some, at least partial vision loss, which the medics at the time attributed to sun glare off of the surface of the river, or off of the, you know, snow blindness from just, you know, they didn't have sunglasses or anything like that. And if they were traveling in the winter and the snow hit them in the eyes, the glare off of the snow hit them in the eyes, or if they're, you know, on a river all day long, when high noon comes along, it's like staring into a shining mirror. But one of the undocumented at the time, well, it was documented, but, you know, not necessarily known at the time, issues was, you know, as these white Americans were traveling west and, you know, meeting with different tribes, some of them were friendly. A lot of these Indians had this idea that it would be good to effectively pimp out their wives to these white dudes traveling through, and, you know, have a half white kid that would give them some of the, quote-unquote powers that white folks had. Anyway, it's sad to think about in the current context, but, you know, it was a different age back then, and this is what they did. And as such, STDs became common, and a lot of these guys came down with syphilis, one of the symptoms of which is loss of vision. Another issue that was less talked about was Lewis's depression and how he had to deal with that back in the day. So it's important to get a realistic take on just how difficult this was and who these people were, how they were still mortals, they were still limited. It was an exceptional book to read. Gave it 5 stars. Really glad that I read it. I think you should check it out. Undaunted Courage by Stephen Ambrose. Now, if you want to read a similar book to Undaunted Courage, but one that takes itself a little more lightly and is a fine piece of genre fiction, check out Uncharted by Kevin J. Anderson and Sarah Hoyt. Kevin J. Anderson is, of course, a sci-fi heavy hitter. He took over the Dune series after the passing of Frank Herbert. And Sarah Hoyt is an excellent, excellent fictional novelist. She is a novelist. She herself is not fictional. Sarah A. Hoyt is very real. She's written a bunch of different works, and she's even got a collab with Larry Correa coming out later this summer in the Monster Hunter series. But anyway, Uncharted is it's a fantasy set in the same era as Undaunted Courage. The idea is that there is magic, of course. Sorcerers and wizards and all manner of the like. One of which is Benjamin Franklin. But the premise is that in 1759, a bunch of these sorcerers got together and, for some reason, because of course you would naturally do this and it sounds like a brilliant idea, used magic to destroy Halley's Comet, and as a result, were subjected to an event called the Sundering, where this magical barrier appeared on the Atlantic Ocean, cutting off the New World from the Old World. And it's been a problem for a number of decades. They want to find a way to get back to England, make contact with them, you know, have access to libraries and histories and stuff, have a sense of who they are as a nation. This is, of course, the European Americans, and so that then becomes the impetus for the Lewis and Clark expedition. Is Benjamin Franklin, not Thomas Jefferson, hires Meriwether Lewis and has him select a co-captain, which is of course William Clark, and they decide to go west across the northern United States, northern America, to try to find a route across the Pacific, and then across China, and then across the Middle East and into Europe, to find basically the long way around to England. Hopefully there's not another barrier across the Pacific like there is across the Atlantic. So the book does leave some of the magical questions unanswered. I do think it's the first in a series. It's not one of like the big transformational pieces of alternate history fiction, but it is a good piece of genre fiction, and like I said, it's some light reading that of course relies upon the real historical details, but then you get into, you know, magical additions and different magical creatures and undead revenants along the way, and there are of course dragons. Ironic, because this book ended up winning a Dragon Award at Dragon Con. Dragons, dragons, dragons. So check out Uncharted by Anderson and Hoyt. The summer is nearly upon us, ladies and gentlemen, and we will need to get ourselves in the mood by reading summer books. And especially with July being right around the corner, I wanted to get some headway on this episode so that you guys can put these books on your list, reserve them at your library, and read some historical fact and some historical fantasy about this fascinating time period in American history. And that is it for this week. Check back in on Friday for Tales from the Road. Until then, drive safe. See you out there.